So you have a voice now.
I do.
Finally.
Yes.
Damn. I mean, great. All right. Touch and go there.
For
a bit, but we're back. Welcome to the Sidestream Bubble. I am Scotty Waz. That's Jen the History Girl. She's back with full voice regalia.
Yeah.
Hooray. Considering we went to a concert yesterday, surprised too, but we weren't like in down low.
Yeah.
Which was kind of okay.
Yeah. It was odd because it was nice because you could see the concert and not be like jostled around, but at the same time, you felt kind of removed.
You were kind of far away.
Yeah.
You're definitely like, why not free tickets? Who cared at that point, right? Like, gives a damn.
Yeah.
But yes, we're back for another week. What are we going to talk about? Who knows? Stanley Cup starts tonight because this is posted on a Monday. Through the powers of recording, because if we put it out but after we record this, it'll be like 7:30 and no one's gonna
care.
No, exactly. So we'll promote it tomorrow morning. We'll talk some Stanley Cup stuff, sure, why not. Talk some captain stuff, sure, why not, because everyone, when you think Stanley Cup, you think big captains and, you know, this other stuff.
Well, it was someone in Canadian media writing, I think Friday,
Pierre LeBrun.
Ah, that's who it was. Okay. It kind of flew by and I just was like, okay, whatever. The whole, if Crosby wins, he's better than Taves. And I'm like,
he might be as good as Taves, I think was the actual quote.
Yeah.
Which I guess you can debate the merits of that. 3-2.
Yeah.
3-3. 2-3 for Crosby. Because he lost in 08 or 07 against the Red Wings.
Here's the thing I don't know because I can't remember.
Okay.
Is Crosby part of the Triple Gold Club?
Yes, because he won the World Championship 2 years ago, I think.
Okay.
When they got eliminated early by the Flyers.
Okay.
And I think he went there just to do that. Because, yeah, I think he was like the latest member of the Triple Gold Club.
Yeah, because he didn't show up for like the last two or three games of the... Or last two games of the tournament?
Yeah, like, and that's the weird thing about the World Championship. Is
do you show up at the last minute? Hi, guys. Here to play.
Here to play. We're already in the semis, so I think I got a good chance on this, guys. Also, did you see the, oh, God, who was it? The Belarusian president?
Mm.
Golov and his team.
Oh, yes.
Was it the Belarusian?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, calling him spineless. I'm like, holy Jesus. Yep, Crosby, 2015 for the World Championships.
But Taves not.
Taves is in, yes.
Taves is in.
07.
Okay.
07 World Championships, 10-14 Olympics, and 10-13-15 Stanley Cup.
So now the only thing that makes one better than the other is Stanley Cups?
I still say... you winning percentage in the Stanley Cup final counts for everything, and Taves is 100% right now. and it's the whole, you know, oh, he's a captain with grit. It's that whole grit thing.
Yeah.
Like it's a damn Cracker Barrel menu and like gets the big thing is the grits. Actually, Corey Perry, the latest member of the Triple Gold Club last year.
Huh.
07 with the Ducks, Olympic gold in 2010-14, and then World Championship in 16.
Hmm.
I played this game about the Triple Gold Club on the Faceoff Hockey Show, and very few people got the... Because I gave them the Olympic gold year, the World Championship year, and the Stanley Cup team.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't pay attention to the World Championship.
I gave them one. Sweden 2006 for Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Sweden 98 for World Championship. Tampa Bay Lightning 2004 for Stanley Cup.
There'd be a Swedish player?
Uh-huh. This one, oh, very few people would get. If you said Freddie Modine, you would be a big winner.
Mm.
No one would have been a big winner.
No.
last 9 Canadians to do it, Cronwall, Zetterberg, and Michael Samuelson.
Those aren't Canadians, dear.
That's why I said last 9 Canadians to do it.
Oh, I thought you said 9 Canadians, no. And I was like, wait, what?
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 9. 9 Swedes in the Triple Gold Club. They're the first to start it, of course.
Yes.
With Thomas Janssen,
mm-hmm.
Mats Naslund, and Håkan Loob, all in 94. Then Valerie Kaminsky, Alexei Gusarov, then Forsberg, Fetisov, Larionov, Mogilny, Vladimir Malakhov making a showing in here. Jager, Blake Sakic, Shanahan, Niedermeyer, Jager, Yuri Seager. Because I forgot he won the cup for the Red Wings in 02.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was on that team.
Lidstrom, Modine, Pronger, Cronwall, Zetterberg, Samuelson, Eric Staal, Taves, Bergeron, Crosby, and Perry. Only one triple gold coach.
Who'd that be?
Mike Babcock.
Yeah.
So his last one was the Olympic. Because he won World Championship 04, won the Stanley Cup in 06 or 08. And then 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. There you go.
Mike Babcock and his lucky McGill tie.
Oh, you know, McGill tie. Why do we make it to go? I don't know. Naz and Koch is going to play. Give me a lot of money. They back track up to my house. I don't know what to say. Couldn't say no to Toronto at that point. Next question. That was my bad Mike Babcock impression. You kind of just have to do like an imitation of everybody. You're like, oh, I don't know. So, but yes, Stanley Cup, Penguins against Predators. First time, speaking of head coaches, first time two American head coaches going against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So in Peter Laviolette and Mike Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to that. You can put that in your history tomorrow.
Yep. It will be.
All right, so Stanley Cup facts and figures. The original retail value, we'll play prices, right rules. Original retail value of the Stanley Cup in Canadian dollars.
Oh. Was it 24 guineas?
Yes. 24 yeah. guineas. Yeah. So 48.67.
In today's dollars.
Canada dollars.
Yeah.
Just some facts and figures. Luke Fox, of course. Talk to the keeper of the cup.
There's 12 women on the cup.
Yes. Marguerite Norris, one of them.
Yep. Sonia Scurfield is another. Flames owner, part owner. Charlotte Graham.
Charlotte Graham. I was trying to think of what her first name was.
Yep.
Let's see.
The Illiches.
The Illiches are there.
Yep.
Peter Pocklington's father's name is crossed out.
Jacques Plante's name is spelled differently five different times. Like, his name's on the cup five times, and it's spelled differently every time.
Well, that's something.
And then the time they spelled Boston Bruins with Q's instead of O's.
Islanders is spelled Illanders.
Illanders, yeah. They spelled Bob Gainey's name wrong.
Ted Lindsay.
Yep. Frank Selke is on there as Ass Man.
Yes. It says on this fact 25, the 1955-56 Canadians who predate both Cosmo Kramer and Sir Mix-a-Lot have Ass Man engraved under winners.
Yes. There's, I think, at least two mascot names engraved on the cup.
Really?
Yeah. But we're talking like 1919. You know, or not 1919.
So when actual animals were used as mascots almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I want to say 1917. But I have pictures on.
I'm Googling mascot Stanley Cup. It's just going to show me the mascots with the Stanley Cup.
Probably.
That's interesting.
Because like the Toronto Bulldogs had an actual bulldog as their mascot. Like, it belonged to one of the players. It was their team mascot. It's in some of their team photos. So
Quebec Bulldogs, not Toronto.
Oh, yeah, Quebec.
Because that was the picture that always shows up for the Quebec Bulldogs is just that caricature of a bulldog.
Yeah.
Which is, like you said, their actual mascot.
Yep.
So
yeah, it belonged to one of the players.
It's like Matilda from the British Bulldogs. Any facts and figures you have of the Stanley Cup that people may have not known? It's been done to death, too.
It has, and I do it every year as well. But, you know, there's always someone who goes, wow, I didn't know that, thanks. So, you know, there's always new fans. In 1905, the Ottawa Senators decided to drop kick it into the Rideau Canal.
They lost it for a few days there.
Yeah. Well, they were very drunk. Let's be clear there. We were very.
Wait,
they were very drunk.
What?
I know, right? Crazy.
What? Wasn't Prohibition during that time? Wait, it was Ottawa. It doesn't matter.
And then they came to their senses and went back for it. Another time, the team went to a photographer's, had their picture taken with the cup, and forgot it. And nobody remembered until months later when they said, hey, we need the cup back, so, you know, next cup challenge. And they went, and it turned out the photographer's mother had taken it and used it as a planter.
Nice.
Yeah. Maurice Richard once chipped a tooth trying to drink from the cup. He was trying to drink and his teammate was holding it and there was jostling about and bam, tooth chipped. In Chicago during the 60s, the cup was basically just kept in like a display case, like in the arena. And a Montreal fan decided he was just going to take it. And so he took it from the case and started to walk out with it. And because he was going to take it back where it belonged, which was, you know, Montreal,
mm-hmm.
of course. Parts of the cup were stolen in the 70s, weren't recovered for several years.
Like just like bands?
Like the bands, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
How do they keep those bands on? Like,
I think they're soldered on.
Mm.
Like there's a jeweler. Like joining, like soldering method that they use. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think they've only had two engravers in the entire history of the cup.
Jesus Christ, they better be apprenticing one. Actually, you gotta figure one of them's gonna be.
Well, sorry, not two engravers, but two. One is a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's three. Total now,
but they keep it within the same kind of lineage.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it was right now. I think it's a woman actually.
Hmm. That's good.
Yeah. So.
But I mean, it's one of those things where you have to. It's almost like the Major League Baseball schedulers. Like you have to be away from the sport and just do your thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because you rarely hear about the engravers. You hear about, oh, the guy, the keeper of the cup, this, that, and the other thing. And you mm-hmm. hear about it when it's engraved, but there's no deep profile about the engravers. Like, you don't have a 30 for 30 short on them.
No, they did an interview with her a couple of years ago. It was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Because now it used to be the traditional engraving methods with the hammer and the tiny little jeweler's chisel and whatever. And now they use a laser method. And, you'll notice that there are noticeably fewer spelling mistakes these days.
Because they have a thing called spell check now.
Yeah.
Louise St. Jacques.
That's her name.
That's her name. Every September, she collects the Stanley Cup and takes it to her studio in Boffy Promotions in Montreal. Through the year, Boffy Promotion does all manners of metal engraving, from jewelry to watches to special corporate gifts. In the month of September, Louise St. Jacques, who is a partner in the business, knows that she'll have one focus, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, 17 years. She did the the pop thing.
Yep.
That's got to be.
That has got to be the most tedious.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering how many names you can put on the cup for one team.
Yeah, up to 50, I think. 50 or 52, including executives, and they have to be approved by the NHL and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to get special permission for injured players or...
Names that go in the Stanley Cup are submitted by the winning team of the National Hockey League. There's specific criteria. Games played during the regular season, games in the final. Then once approved, the list given to St. Jacques for engraving. She says, I'll go through the list, count all the letters, and make certain they will fit onto the space. A lot of the NHL will allow no more than 52 names. And in 2006, Carolina Hurricanes submitted and had approved 52 names. So they are mm-hmm. the longest... Yeah, because it's probably not going to happen again for at least a few years. Man, that's an interesting thing.
There's a player who actually was really curious what the inside of the cup looked like, mm-hmm. so he took a screwdriver to it.
Jesus.
And he scratched his name inside the cup, like, with a nail.
Wow.
And it's fixed now. They found out about it eventually and fixed it, but yeah.
Pretty damn crazy.
Yeah.
And this was in 2006 this was done? I don't know, because it talks about the Hurricanes thing
okay.
a lot, so I'm assuming it's from...
No, there's one more recent. I know there is, and it might be a video, But anyway, that's her name. There's a woman engraving the Stanley Cup, and she, now she does it by laser. Yeah.
Which, you know,
yeah,
much better. Probably much easier on the hands and eyes, because, my God.
Yeah. The cup's gone through a couple of wacky shapes, sizes. Because it used to be just the cup, and then it was the cup on a little pedestal, and then it was the cup on a little metal, like metal bands on a pedestal, and then it took on the, like, what they call their stovetop shape, or stovepipe shape. So it looked like a stovepipe, basically. It was fairly narrow, and then it had...
I'm trying to think of any kind of thing like that in terms of trophy-wise, and I can't think of anything off my head.
No, because it was fairly narrow. It was a lot more narrow than... you could probably put both hands around it and touch fingers. And it was almost that narrow at that point. And then they changed the shape. So it became wider so you could fit more names onto the bands.
And more years onto the bands, too.
Yeah. And this is the thing that people don't know and surprises them, is that for a while, not too long, but for a little while, the top of the cup was detachable, like a wedding cake topper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when they made the presentation, they would just hand over the top of the cup.
And then the rest would follow later.
And then the rest was just sitting there, like, on a little card table.
It's almost like the Daytona 500 trophy, because there's that one, it's a big piece, but you have the little piece on top of it. It's just like...
Yeah, you just pick up that little piece and put it back down. Yeah. Yeah. And for a while, also, the cup itself was not completely, like, permanently attached to the base. So you have this picture of Lester Patrick with the Rangers celebrating, and they're trying to put the cup on his head like a hat. You know, like, just these wacky little...
goofy garbage stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wacky hockey players, let me tell you.
Yep. The cup now weighs, I think, 35 pounds.
35 pounds in total. So you got some of the names. Is there any other names that you can... I have a list, kind of a list right here.
Of
engraving errors.
Okay, let's see.
Some examples.
There was Jacques Plante.
Yep.
Bob Gainey.
Yep.
The Islanders, the Bruins.
Yep.
Deadmarsh.
Yep.
Because they spelled it Deadmarsh.
Yep.
Yep.
But that was corrected.
Yeah. Well, he kind of threw a fit, too.
It was the first time it was corrected on the cup.
Yeah, and people ask now, well, are they all corrected? And I say it depends on which cup you're looking at. Because there's the replica cup, which is perfected.
Yeah.
There's no spelling errors on that one.
Right.
And then there's the original cup.
Which still is in... It stays in residence in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, with exceptions, but...
Sure.
Yeah. And that's how you can tell which cup you're looking at, because if you look at 1984 with Pocklington's dad?
Yes.
Yes. If you look for 1984 and it's X'd out, that's how you know you're looking at the original cup.
Right. The ones that have been corrected as well, Manny Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Staal had 3 A's in it.
Yes.
And Christopher Stieg, it was spelled Vertsieg,
yeah,
switching the T and the S.
Yeah.
Justin Williams' name was misspelled.
Do I have an extra L?
No, W-I-L-L-I-V-I-S.
Close enough.
They probably thought it was the band Paris, where they have the A upside down like a V.
Yeah, yeah.
Alex Delvecchio.
Oh, Belvecchio.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ted Kennedy.
What'd they do?
Had an extra Y at the end.
Oh, okay.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
No F.
No F, and they had an E.
Yeah.
They were close. Glenn Hall.
With one N?
No, G-L-I-N. Glenn Hall.
Okay.
Who'd you say had this name done different times?
Jacques Plante.
No. Dickie Moore had 6 cups.
Yeah.
And had 6 different names on it.
Yeah.
He had D. Moore, Richard Moore, R. Moore, Dickie Moore, Rich Moore. sounds like it's contract disputes.
It sounds like he was trying out some, like, some variation of his name for a, I don't know, like, a rap album. Or yeah.
Pat McReevy. It's spelled Mc. So it's McReevy, his last name. McReavy.
Mm-hmm.
Misspelled on the cup, McCEAVY. Because it was often misspelled.
Ah.
On the team pictures.
Okay.
So,
yeah, yeah.
When you submit it there, because apparently no sure. spell check or no give a crap about birth, half these kids couldn't read anyway in the 40s, so. There you go. Of course, the captains being the big thing that touch the Stanley Cup first.
Yeah.
Zdeno Chara, was he the first Slovakian to win a cup? No.
Mm-mm.
Hossa was the year before. Because I'm thinking about how to segue this into captaincy. Lidstrom was the first captain born and trained in Europe.
Yeah.
Chara in 2001. Messier was the first player to win a Stanley Cup as captain for two different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's running an ice rink because he took his ball and went home. Because he didn't get a GM position.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby, youngest captain to win. In the NHL era,
mm-hmm.
whereas the 1895 Montreal Victorias, Mike Grant, 21 years, 2 months. Darian Hatcher, first American-born captain, which that surprised me. It was so late.
I didn't, not me so much.
Yeah.
Because the league was so heavily still...
I would thought, like, at least in the, like, the mid-90s, you would have someone there.
Yeah.
Lars-Erik Sjöberg.
Sjöberg, yeah.
Sjöberg.
Yep.
First NHL captain born and trained in Europe. And to win the Stanley Cup for the first European-born. Also the only goalie to do so, Charlie Gardner.
The only goalie captain.
Only goalie captain to win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And the first founding member of the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And one of the last, second to last goaltender as a captain in general.
Yeah.
What happened? Why were goaltenders named captains? Like, what was this big deal? What was this big... Because I know, I'll say it for me, in high school, we had a goal, the varsity team had their goaltender as captain because... Mm-hmm. You know, he was the leader of the team or whatever and stuff like that. I never understood. And a lot of high schools did. A lot of D3. I think Boston College did it. Or Boston University did it a couple years ago when they were here at UND when they had Matt O'Connor, I think, as captain.
Hmm.
Like, it seems colleges and stuff like that. Why is it acceptable there but not now in the NHL?
Well, the idea was originally your goalie is always on the ice. And therefore, he's always available to talk to the referee.
Fair.
And that was where it was born, is if your goalie is always available to talk to the referee, then that's what you want. That's what you need advocating for your team. Because, you know, what if your captain's in the penalty box? What if, you know, he's injured? What if, you know? And so they came up with the idea, well, you know, the goalie is the one who leads you to victory or defeat. And, mm-hmm. you know. Natural leader, I guess, which is kind of odd because at the same time, everyone was like, oh, that's a goalie. Stay away from him. So originally, I think it was sheerly an on ice.
Like a tactical thing.
Yeah. Like it wasn't particularly that the goalie was a dressing room leader, per se.
No. Just there. Just the guy. Not really a glue guy, as it were, like you think captains are today.
Yeah.
Can you name the first... And pop quiz hot shot. You have nothing in front of you. I have all the answers because Wikipedia has all the answers.
Yeah.
First goaltender captain. So I spill Sunkist all over myself.
I can only name like three of them off the top of my head.
There were pre Luongo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Should be 6, yeah.
So if you can name half of them, I'll give you full credit on that.
Well, there's Jernan.
Mm-hmm.
And Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And...
One more.
Alec Connell? Was he one?
We'll go with Alex Connell as they have listed here. You are correct.
Is it with an X or a C?
They have an X here, but I thought it was Alec.
It's a C.
I thought it was C.
Yeah, it's Alec with a C. Yeah. And John Russ Roach?
Yep. Doing well.
Woo! It's the only ones I can remember off the top of my head.
You're missing George Hainsworth and Roy Werders. Shrimp. John Ross Roach, the first goalie captain.
Little Dynamite, or Little Napoleon.
Yes, 24-25 season.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest influx was 32-33 when Hainsworth, Werders, and Connell were all captains that same year. And of course, you talk about the whole thing about the goalies always being out there, the Durden rule.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so the Habs name Bill Durden captain. Fine and great. Until he basically starts delaying the game by chasing the referees all over the ice, complaining about this, questioning that, you know, just doing what a captain should do. But the problem is he did it so often. And for so long that games were becoming too long, like the games themselves were becoming too delayed. And it started out, I mean, that was part of his tactic was, you know, if I argue this, then it gives guys a minute to breathe on the bench, which is good. But then it started to be too often, too much. Games got to be too long. People complained. And then you have the birth of the Durden rule.
Which is NHL made a change rule prohibiting goalies from being captain or alternate captains. So yeah, complaints from the opponents left the crease too much to argue. At strategic points of the game mostly. So it's almost akin to what now they say, oh, we got an equipment problem.
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
Basically, that's what he was there for, was to delay.
Yeah. The equipment problem's the new goalie captain. So there's that aspect. Of course, we had the big kerfuffle when Roberto Luongo was named captain of the Canucks.
Yeah, although the thing is, you can designate anyone. Like, you can name anyone captain. You could name your mascot captain.
Oh, that'd be great, because he's probably as good as anybody on the Canucks team. I'll take Finn over anybody else.
But that doesn't mean they serve as captain.
Right.
You know, and that's the difference. People are like, oh, well, he was named captain, therefore he should be counted as captain. Well, no, because he didn't serve as captain.
Well, that's the same adage as, oh, the best player has to be captain. I don't believe that at all.
No, because if that was true, then Guy Lafleur would have had a turn at being captain.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, you look at, like, Ovechkin should be a better captain as he is now. Or, you know, a lot of these guys should be better than that. Mike Fisher should not be captain of the Predators if that was the case, you know? I mean, I think the Predators are a big example of, you know, your captain doesn't have to be the best player. I mean, even like the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2004, Andrejczuk was fucking far and away not the best player on that team.
Well,
but he was still a captain because he was a veteran voice.
Yeah, and not only was he an effective veteran voice, but that was the year that he finally made his final debut, like his cup final debut.
Mm-hmm.
That was like 1,500 plus games into his career. He finally made a cup final. So, you know, It's not like they were saying, oh, he's a veteran, you know, and he's played 500 games or whatever, or, oh, he's a veteran because he went to the playoffs, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's this dude's been around, sort of veteran.
What do you think about captain, like the importance of captains?
I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that your captain has to be your best player, and I don't necessarily think your captain should be your best player. I think it's a matter of personality, in part,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a matter of team respect in another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has anything to do with who's the best player or who's the most effective media spokesperson, per se, or, you know, who the coach thinks deserves it. Necessarily. Just because you're the veteran guy doesn't mean that you're the best choice for captain, and just because you're the best player,
right,
you know, I mean, if there's no one superlative that makes automatically makes someone a captain, really. So yeah,
I thought, like, captain's a nice honor to have and stuff, but at the same time, if some guys let it go to their head, then it's just counterproductive to what it's supposed to be.
Well, and it can really tear a team apart, too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, hell, there's been plenty of mutinies on the Bounty for that stuff.
Yep.
Especially after a guy's been stripped to captain. I mean, you look mm-hmm. at the Sharks and what happened there with Marlowe being stripped and then Thornton being stripped and
yeah.
all this other stuff. That could have just been a huge disarray, but they kind of bagged up and then went from there.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of other Lindros when he got stripped. That
Sittler.
Went downhill fast. Sittler. A lot of things go downhill fast.
Yeah.
Life comes at you pretty fast, man. Andrew Shuck, is Andrew Shuck a Hall of Famer in your eyes?
Borderline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know.
There's a lot of really good players.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with the Hall of Fame is sometimes they reward the really good just the same as the great players. So
would you say we're coming into our second golden age of hockey inductees, the Hall of Fame guys where you can be, you know, a guy who's first ballot but doesn't get in because there's someone, they're in an age of where guys are better than him kind of situation?
Yeah.
I mean, because I think we experienced this, what, in the 70s, you would think?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's getting to that point where, oh, it's the second rush of, second golden age of NHLers. I don't know. I like the debate of hockey Hall of Famers and who gets snubbed and who doesn't. Because now we're getting into 2017. It's possible. Because that's going to be named here soon.
Yeah. I think if Vachon hadn't been...
Oh, yeah.
That would have been it.
Much sooner.
Yeah, but I think this would have been sort of like that cutoff because nobody really remembers him playing mm-hmm. much longer after 2017. Like, everyone who's watched him play are now all...
retired.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah, all of the fans are older. You know, they're not the voice, the demographic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets to a point where if you haven't been named to the Hall of Fame already, even though you deserve to be there,
mm-hmm.
you're probably never going to get there.
Interesting you mentioned that. I have a list here. TSN put out a list last June.
Yes.
2017 Hall. This is after the 2016 class was named.
Okay.
So here are the guys they have up front. This is in alphabetical order. Just to let you know.
Okay.
First year of eligibility, Daniel Alfredson, Hall of Famer, not Hall of Famer. Played 18 seasons, 6-time All-Star, gold medalist, Calder Memorial Trophy winner, all-time leader in goals and assists for Ottawa.
I want to say yes, but I also have reservations about it.
Right. Table for two.
Yeah, basically.
I say not first year, but he definitely gets in.
Yeah, I know. I could see him getting in a year or two.
Sheer for the fact that he carried that team. He was the face of that team for years.
Well, and everybody loves him.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Well, Toronto fans don't. Toronto fans remember him mimicking throwing the stick up there. So
yeah.
Ninth year eligibility, the man we just talked about, Dave Andrechuk. 16-39 games played, 13-38 points, 5-40 in goals. 6-40 in goals. 23 seasons. Amongst the Sabres, Leafs, Devils, Bruins, Avalanche, Tampa Bay, won the Cup in 2004, 2-time All-Star, most power play points in NHL or power play goals in NHL history in 274.
Yeah,
he's ninth year eligibility. I think he has to get in this year.
Yeah, no, this is one of those. It's now or never.
It's 13 years since he won a cup.
Yeah.
Another guy in his ninth year of eligibility. Your favorite player,
Theo.
15 seasons with the Flames, Avs, Rangers, and Blackhawks. Cup winner in 89, 7-time All-Star, Olympic gold medalist, Canada Cup winner, World Junior gold medalist.
I think he should be in.
I think he should be in. He won't be in because the writers hate him.
Yeah.
He was not media friendly, and they get butthurt over that.
And they don't care.
No.
They don't care about those circumstances around it. They'll write glowing stories about what a lovely person he is now, but they're still going to hate him for who he was then.
Yep. They forgive. They never forget.
Exactly.
First year eligibility for this guy. Interesting. J.S. Jaguar.
No.
260. Wow. Then don't even have to rattle him. I'm surprised he played 16 seasons.
Yeah. No.
Because he was stuck in Hartford and Calgary the first few years, then the Ducks and the Maple Leafs and Avalanche towards the end. Stanley Cup winner, 07, one of only five players to win the Conn Smythe in a losing cause, and an All-Star in 2009. I'm with you.
No, that's not enough.
262 wins in 597.
No, it's not enough. It's like Cujo, you know?
Well, we go right to that. Cujo, fifth year of eligibility, 19 season, three-time All-Star, fourth most wins in NHL history, gold medals, Spengler Cup winner they have here over in Switzerland, 454 wins in 943 games played. And I'll add this, even in the backup role when he was with the Flames, dependable.
Yeah.
He would get you stops. The team in front of him was complete dog crap, but, you know, I think if you don't put one of the top guys of wins in history in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
it's not a Hall of Fame.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Where do you think you feel on fly on that one?
I would like to see him in, and he's getting to that now or never point, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, although, you know, I feel the same way about him as I do almost about Chris Osgood. Like,
we'll get to him in a bit because it is alphabetical order.
Yeah, because like they're good. They're really good.
Yeah, we'll wait till we get to Ozzy to make it Ozzy. Let's just
yeah.
Cujo, yay, thumbs up. You want him in?
I'd like him in
you
eventually.
Think he should be
yeah,
in?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
These next two are going to be garbage. So I'll just tell you right off the bat, you're probably going to say no. Ed Jovanovski.
Mm.
Thomas Cabrelet.
Mm, no.
Tommy Cabrelet, definitely not.
No.
I don't care if he won a Stanley Cup. I say Jovo over Cabrelet, because I think Jovo was a better player.
Yeah.
Because he brought, like, a defense, the stay-at-home defenseman role,
mm-hmm.
and a big bruiser guy. I was never impressed by it. I never got the Thomas Cabrelet love.
I didn't either.
Fifth year of eligibility, Paul Kariya. Paul Kariya is an interesting sort.
He's like an Eric Lindros.
Very
like...
much so. Well, he almost played 1,000 games. Like, he played 989,
yeah.
which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
So I thought he played much less. Because you remember
well,
those
everyone
years
does.
Yeah, those years in Colorado. And those years in Nashville, he was there. Seven-time All-Star, two-time Lady Bing, gold medals, world champion, and world junior champion.
I think he should be in.
I think he gets in because he was a point-per-game player.
Yes.
He was a carried... After Guy Hebert mm-hmm. left, carried that Ducks franchise with Tamu Solani.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Solani, I think he's on this list too, which I'm sure everyone's going to say he gets in.
Yeah.
So I think Kariya gets in. I don't think he gets in this year. Maybe next year. But he's reaching that precipice where people...
Yeah, although it might be that thing where, well, Tamu's going in, so you got to... Maybe we'll take his best buddy and best lineman with him.
Guess what? It didn't work in Colorado. It's not going to work for the Hall of Fame. So... Don't think that's going to happen. You're talking two different career plateaus right here. Like, they meshed well together for a finite amount of time.
Yeah.
People forget that Taylor yeah. was as good in San Jose as he was in Anaheim, and as good in Anaheim Part 2, Electric Boogaloo, than he was. Nick Haavisto-Bullin. First year of eligibility, 333. Stanley Cup champion, four-time All-Star, gold medalist. In the Olympics, a world junior champion, 18 seasons for him. I'm saying no.
Yeah, I lean towards no.
Just because he played on crappy teams,
yeah.
and he was not able to put them over the top. Saku Koivu.
No.
Wow.
I love Saku, yeah. but I just don't feel like he's a really serious Hall of Famer.
Longest serving captain in Canadiens history.
Yeah, that's a Habs thing, though.
Yeah. That alone could get him over.
Yeah, that's true.
World champion, two-time All-Star, King Clancy. All the things. Everyone loves Sacco, but production on the ice. This is one of those things where captain, you're not the best
best
player on the
exactly.
team. But he had other attributes.
Everybody loves him.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah.
I mean...
Not nationally, or nationally beloved
yeah.
in Canada. Like, yeah. he was there, he was inspirational after his cancer thing, but...
Yeah.
Other than that, it was kind of... I hate to say forgettable because it wasn't, but he was not a big-time guy.
He was not that big-time player that you wanted on your team.
He wasn't the Patrick Waugh where
yeah.
he was the big face and you could yeah. be discernible.
Well, he was the face of the team, but...
He took over for Pierre Turgeon.
Yeah.
Anybody could be the face of the team after Pierre Turgeon's captain, for Christ's yeah. sake. Next two guys I think should be in.
Okay.
I'll start with the first one. Alex Mogilny.
Yes.
473,032 points, 999 games. Really got screwed over by Lou in Toronto. Or no, in New Jersey when he came back.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup champion in 2000 with Jersey. Lady Bing, six-time All-Star. Gold medal, the Olympics, World Championship, World Juniors. Second all-time amongst Russian point getters in the NHL. Last player to score 70-plus in an NHL season in 92-93 with Tamu.
And on top of that, he really opened the door for Russian players. Yes. So
he kicked the door in,
yeah,
essentially.
Basically.
Him and Nedved,
mm-hmm,
for those Eastern Bloc guys.
Yeah.
Next guy, and this is going to be debatable, Osgood, Chris. One more than he lost. 401 wins, 744 games played.
Yeah.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion. Two-time Jennings Trophy, two-time All-Star, 10th most wins in NHL history. It's hard to say that he wasn't a systems goaltender.
Yeah.
It's hard to say he's not a system, but at the same time, he also won games on the Islanders in that all red motif and just a blue jersey for a few times until the NHL told him, listen, you got to get with the program, stupid. And then with the Blues, too. He made a very big mark with the Blues, too, before he went back to Detroit and became the starting goalie with Dominic Hasek in that revival past his time.
I think ultimately he'll be in.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be the Rogie Vachon of this era.
I think so.
Makes sense. Mark Recchi. Interesting dynamic. 22 seasons. Three-time Cup winner. Seven-time All-Star. World champion in 97.
Yeah, but that's all he's got going for him.
He was always along for the ride.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
He was never the guy.
And it's not that he's not a hard worker. He's not...
Tries hard.
Yeah, it's not that he's not dedicated. It's not that he doesn't...
Dr. Recchi, yeah.
Yeah, but it just...
The only thing that got him noticed was late in his career when he didn't give a damn and just said what he wanted.
Yeah.
Like, that's when he's just like, you know what? Screw it. Let's go ahead.
Yeah.
And he became the mercenary for anybody who wanted to win a Stanley Cup because the Canes picked him up in 2006.
And,
the Penguins tried to pick him up, and then the Bruins picked him up, and then
he
was just a mercenary for the Cup. Jeremy Roenick. 20 seasons, 9-time All-Star. That's all they have for him.
No.
No.
He does not belong in the Hall of Fame.
He belongs in the Hall of Fame if he retired after he left the Blackhawks. Because, sure, he played well for the Coyotes, and he was a spot player for the Flyers, but those years in California with the Kings and the Sharks, he was more of a caricature of himself than he was
and
a big player.
He quit on the Coyotes, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Sure. Well, he quit on the Blackhawks, too.
Yeah.
He quit a lot. That's what we're saying, kids. Tamu. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
First ballot all day, every day. Listen to this. 21 seasons. One Stanley Cup winner. Calder. Rocket Richard winner, Bill Masterson Trophy winner, 10-time All-Star, record for most goals and points by a rookie at 76 and 132, most goals by a Finn, all-time leader for the Ducks in goals, assist, and points. I don't know why you have to put goals, assist, and points. I would hope
one of those was the obvious,
exactly.
But you know,
and last player to score 70 plus in a season with Alex Mogilny.
Yeah,
he's in. Like he's.
There's no choice there.
No,
like there's.
You do it. And he's better than a point per game guy.
The only way you don't vote for him is maybe if he ran over your dog and slept with your wife. And even then.
And maybe if you're a baseball writer who went to the wrong meeting, you're just like, I just don't want this guy to get in his first ballot. Cal Ripken didn't do it.
Baseball's dumb that way.
Yeah. Ryan Smith.
You know, he's the nostalgia pick.
The
Captain Canada, Canadian kid done good.
Yeah, I see him more of a Harmelwald pick, where he's picked for his international success rather than his NHL success.
Yeah.
Because he's got a wide array of international goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And he should get into the IIHF Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah.
Hockey Hall of Fame?
Well, they just got Koivu into the IIHF Hall of Fame, so, and a couple other guys too, but
I think Tamu was in that too,
probably. So yeah, I know for it's probably a lock for him to be in the IIHF.
Yeah, oh for sure. I think I'm in the IIHF Hall of Fame. I don't know. Like, they let anybody in there. But, yeah, Ryan Smith is more known as a national team player than he is an NHL player.
Yeah.
He was for the grit and determination, and, yeah, he was the face of the Edmonton
Oilers. Captain Canada.
Yeah, he was the face of the Edmonton Oilers, despite not being captain.
Yeah.
Except for, like, the last couple years. But, like, other than that, eh. He was a big fish in a small, crappy pond.
Mm-hmm.
Timmy Thomas. Very small sample size. Under 500 games played. 214. Journeyman guy. Nine seasons. Though he was drafted in 94 by the Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah.
Only played nine seasons because he was stuck in IHL and AHL and then went over to Finland. Another guy who probably International Hockey Hall of Fame will be in there.
Yeah.
I don't think Tim Thomas gets in even because he won a cup.
No.
Yeah. There was no injury there. The politics definitely blew people out of the water with that. There's that last one. Interesting one. Ray Whitney.
Mm.
22 seasons, Stanley Cup, two-time All-Star.
He's one of those guys you want to reward him for being as steady as he was, because he was always...
He was always reliable.
Yeah.
Even in those last few years, he was always reliable in Dallas.
And he was always a team guy, and he was always well-liked.
Clutch,
yeah.
You talk about grit, he was clutch.
Yeah.
Him and Justin Williams are kind of cut from that same cloth.
Yeah. So if there was a Hall of Really Dependable...
There might be. I learned this week there's a podcast Hall of Fame, so we're not in it. We started podcasting, we're not in it. But so is it really truly a Hall of Fame? I don't think it is.
No, I would say no, but I hate saying no just because simply how dependable and long lasting he was.
It falls in that Mark Recchi category. He was not the face of the Hurricanes when they won the cup.
Nope.
He was not he might have been the face of the early Sharks.
Yeah.
The offensive face between him and Urbe, because Urbe was the defensive face.
Yeah.
But Ray Whitney could have been the guy because Pat Falloon fell short in a big way.
Yeah.
I mean, he played it lights out in Spokane and then kind of crapped out when he got to the NHL. So there you go. That was the TSN list.
Yeah.
Of garbage. It's going to be interesting to see who gets in this year.
Yeah, I'm curious if they'll put any women in this year.
I'm trying to think. Is Haley already in? Recognizer? Do they have the same wait time? Because if she retired recently, then she would have to wait.
I don't know that there's a time restriction on the women's right now, but there are others that they could put in. Geraldine Haney.
Yeah.
Vicky
I thought
Sinahara.
She was already in.
Is she?
I don't know. I'll check.
It could be she. Haney?
Yeah.
I know Angela James is. And so is
Angela Ruggiero?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't even know if she is, actually. No, honesty. Is she?
I believe she is.
Oh, God. Hockey Hall of Fame. Like, they can't... Hockey Hall of Fame can't make it, like, easy.
They do a year-by-year roll call of inductees.
Roll call!
So
hold on, here we go. Members, players. All right, come on. Scroll. Builders. Scroll.
You know who should be in the Hall of Fame as
Tell
a builder?
Tell me.
Marguerite Norris.
Yes.
Yeah, she should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame.
And her story?
She ran the Red Wings for three seasons. And everyone thought she was the front, like her brothers were actually pulling the strings, and they weren't. She was the one in charge. She ran the teams quite well. She managed to put Jack Adams in his place a time or two. And all 3 years she ran them, they finished at the top, like number one. And they won two Stanley Cups.
Hmm.
And she was the first female executive in the NHL, and she did a really great job. The players loved working for her, and she loved managing them. And then her brothers decided, hey, this is a man's world, and
it's a man's world,
you're out. So they pulled some crap on her and forced her out.
Jane Brown was right. It was a man's world. Come on, get on your butt now. Hey, good gotcha.
But there's no reason to believe that the Red Wings couldn't have had a dynasty equal to the Habs at the time if she'd been allowed to keep running the team.
The world may never know.
Yeah.
Man, well. Angela James, Kay Granato, and Geraldine Heaney, the only women in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I thought there were more.
They put a couple in, and then they're like, oh, okay, that's enough for now. And then they haven't put one in.
They haven't put one in. Heaney was 2013.
Yeah, they haven't put a woman in years.
But they have the spot for two.
Yes.
Who else are you going to put in there?
Is Ruggiero still playing?
I think she might be.
What about Julie Chu?
Julie Chu is still playing for the national team, I do believe. And, yep, it looks like Ruggiero is still playing. Oh, no, she's former. So she's a member of the IOC now.
Okay, so she should go in.
Yeah. Oh, no, she was part of the 2015 class. Jesus Christ, Hockey Hall of Fame, get your ish together. Yeah, because she's not listed here on the 2015 class, although the other women are. Inducted November 15, fourth women, second American inducted, so there you go. So yeah, there's four women in there now.
Mm-hmm. Hilda Ranscombe would be another one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she didn't play any sort of international, she would be one that would definitely should be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, she played on a team that played a whole decade and lost one game.
That helps.
You know, I mean, they were national champions over and over and over and over and over. And she was a stellar player. So I think she would be, although the problem is she played back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's harder to gauge.
Right. It's harder to convince people. Fran Ryder would be another one. She's done a crap ton for women's hockey in Canada.
In terms of
being a builder, coaching, organizing leagues, you know.
I think everybody would argue Melanie Davidson as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Erin Witten.
Yeah.
I think Erin Witten over Manon Rheum.
I would agree with that.
Because Manon Rheum was, you know, decent.
Yeah.
Erin Witten trumped what Manon Rheum did.
Yeah.
First woman to participate in an ECHL, CHL, Colonial Game League. Athlete of the Year at University of New Hampshire in 93. U.S. Women's Hockey Player of the Year in 94. ECHC Goaltender of the Year in 92. First team at ECHC in 92-93. First team in 90-91. Best women's goaltender in the Women's World Hockey Championship. And she's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh,
she'd be a great pick.
Absolutely. I think she should get in there. And, you know, Manon Rheum gets all the dynasty, but because she decided, you know what, I'm going to play minor league hockey before it's cool.
Yeah.
She was good. Because Manon Rheum, all due respect, not that good.
No.
Not
she
that
was,
great.
She was an average goalie.
She was. You could see that her size really let her down.
Yeah.
Playing against men.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was small. Manon Rheum, I want to say 5'3", 5'4".
She's taller than I am. Not by much.
Yeah.
So.
Her son's playing in the queue.
Hmm.
So. And there's that. So. 5'7". Wow, that's way off. She looks smaller in the hockey cards.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think there's a bumper crop of women now, playing now, that will be Hall of Famers. Like Kim St. Pierre and
Hillary Knight.
Carolyn Ouellette.
Yeah, Ouellette. Natalie Spooner.
She's lights out, man.
She is phenomenal. She was phenomenal at Ohio State, and she's phenomenal with Team Canada.
Yeah.
Like, she is fantastic. So is Marie-Philippe Poulin.
That's what I was trying to think of. I was like, Marie.
No, like she is amazing.
Yeah.
People would argue the Lamoureux.
You
would argue against.
Yeah.
Well, here's the funny thing. And you know, of course, the UND women's program was shut down earlier this summer.
Yeah.
And they were the ones up in arms. My buddy Kyle made a thing. You know, they probably didn't care about UND when they played at Minnesota that one year. Probably really couldn't care less about the hometown.
Yeah.
So people forget about that conveniently.
Oh, it's very convenient around
they
here.
They just hear the Lamoureux name. Like, oh, we know all Mitch and JP and the other one. Mario, yeah. You know, all the Lamoureux came from here.
Yeah, I think the only one that doesn't get any attention is their younger brother.
Which one, Mario?
Is that his name?
I don't know.
I just remember they have a younger brother and he's not getting old.
Things happen, man.
You know, have you ever thought if there's a support group out there for, like, the other brother? Like,
oh, Joss Lemieux.
Like, Brent Gretzky.
Yeah, Brent Gretzky, Joss Lemieux all get together. Brett Lindros always forgets where it's at. Oh, it's a bad joke, but it's easy. what were
the
others?
The other Stahl.
The other Stahl. The other, all the other Miller brothers that aren't Kelly.
The other Lundquist.
Joel, yeah. The other Stahls. It's actually just Jared Stahl.
It's
that's
just
the
Jared,
only,
yeah.
Just Jared. He got a diamond. Just Jared. Yeah, God, what are the other, like, who would you say the worst Hatcher is, or are they both equally terrible? I would say Darian has better pedigree than Kevin, though Kevin, I thought, was better just aggressively.
I think Kevin was better.
But Darian's no slouch either, so I don't think there's a weak one in that one.
No.
Both Ferraro twins are, God, horrible. Both of them were just terrible.
I was going to say Drew Miller, but he's still playing, so he's
well,
fine.
He's a nephew. Like, he's not even a brother.
Okay.
Because it's Kip, Kelly, and Kevin.
Right. And then Ryan and...
Ryan's nephew.
Okay.
I think Drew might be one of the sons. I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a son thing. I don't think
what
that's
about
a...
one of the Sutters?
Ooh, God. See, they were all good, though. Like, they were all...
What about the one that's supposed to be the... playing now though and then got traded by his dad or his uncle?
Oh yeah, I remember he got traded by the Flames.
Could he be in the support group?
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. All honesty, they should be. Trying to find, yeah, there's second Jesus, Sean, Brett, Brandon, Brody, Lucas, Riley are the second generation of Sutters. So here's the Sutter brothers, the first wave. Brian had 636 points. Daryl 279. Dwayne 342. Brent had the best career, 829. Rich and Ron, the twins, 315 and 533 contingent. I think Rich and Ron probably had the best careers out of all of them.
Yeah,
because they were in those dynasty teams. Then you have Sean, who's Brian's son, drafted by the Flames during the Sutter era of the Flames.
Mm.
Now he is Red Deer Rebels AGM. Brett Sutter, who is Daryl's son, he was the one that was traded.
Okay.
Then Brandon, who is Brent's son, he was also traded. Brody, who's just there, like he didn't have any effect. That's Dwayne's son. Lucas is Rich's son's. Drafted by Red. All of them played in Red Deer, shockingly enough. Except for Riley, who was Ron's son. He played in Everett. So
had to be the Rebel.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't have to be the Rebel because it was the Red Deer Rebels. Get it?
Yes.
That's the joke. Only three of them played in the NHL in the new wave. Brandon, the most successful with 194 points in 515 games. Brett, 10 points in 60 games. And Brody, 0 points in 12 games. So the second wave, not so good.
No.
Second wave, not as memorable.
No.
Not NHL Hockey Hall of Fame inductee.
Jordan Parise.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's right. No, he's a Parise, though. Oh, yeah. Well, is that?
His brother, Zach.
Is it Zach?
Yeah.
Who's the other Zajac?
Travis.
Travis and... plays for the Caps, Rust. I thought he played for the Caps...
for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, we should do next week for our homework. We should do the other brothers team. where's his personal life? Travis' three brothers, Darcy, Kelly, and Nolan. Oh, God, is it just another Zajac that's just by his name? Whatever. God. Yeah, we'll do that next week. We'll do the all,
Or
the,
can
all
you,
the brother name.
Or can you imagine being like Martin Brodeur's son, who's also a goalie and isn't good? Because I think that's what happened.
That's an interesting one, because that Brodeur picked him.
Yeah.
And it was
it was a sentimental pick.
Because it was like the seventh round in New Jersey.
It was like their final pick.
Yeah. They knew he wasn't going to mount a jack.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like that's hard footsteps to follow in. Like, how do you follow in your father's footsteps? I guess I don't know. Where's his dad? Or where's his kid's? What's his kid's name?
Anthony.
Tony. Yeah, Anthony. In August 15, Anthony signed with Penticton V's. So that was BCHL.
He has two boys, and they both play. One is a goalie and one is not.
One is a goalie. The other, not so much. let's see. Anthony Brodeur. West Paterson, New Jersey was born. Oh, he plays at U of Ottawa. So he's playing in CIS.
Ah. Not too many draft picks come out of CIS.
No.
There have been a handful, but not.
With Penticton, he dominated last year. 28-2.
That's good.
He only played two playoff games, so. So
maybe not.
Not so much. 199 save percentage. Then with the U of Ottawa GGs, 6-5 in his freshman year in 12 games. So. Yeah, CIS, I think there's only been a couple guys, Joel Ward being one of them.
Yeah.
Very prominent. Mike Babcock, another CIS guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sillinger, too. Mike Sillinger was a CIS guy.
Yeah. There haven't been too many.
No. Well, because it's like a lot of these guys here, they come out of juniors and they know it's done. So
yeah.
They kind of just, it's whatever. No, Mike Sillinger came out of the WHL. Why don't I think he was CIS? He's been everywhere else. Why wouldn't he be freaking CIS? Who's to say he's not playing the CIS now?
That's true.
Right on a bike. All right, so next week we'll have homework for the best other brothers team. Also next week, I don't know. Anything you want to talk about?
I could probably tell some more playoff stories.
That works. You know, I bought that whiteboard peel and post.
Yeah.
We really should put that somewhere in the living room.
Yeah.
In the main area of the living room. So we just write down ideas as we think of them.
We'll just put it on the side of the bookshelf.
That's true.
Yeah.
We'll put it somewhere. We'll find a place for it.
Yeah, because I have stories like...
Stories?
The night Howe almost got killed.
Mm.
And
how?
The Stanley Cup being left in a snowbank.
Mm-hmm.
Just various little things.
Little things here and there.
Yeah.
And once the Hall of Fame stuff starts ramping up, boy howdy. We will have a whole show discussing the merit on that.
Yeah.
And since we're going to the draft, we'll break that story here.
Mm-hmm.
Not really break. Well, kind of break. Because we told our close personal friends. So Jen and I will be at the NHL draft.
Yes.
On the floor. Four on the floor.
Yep.
Two on the floor.
Yep.
And who knows what we'll get there. Who knows what mayhem we'll get into. What wacky.
We're going to at least two parties, so.
Are we?
Yes. Hackett's throwing one.
Okay.
Yep. And then we're going to Wish's party.
Oh, that's right. The Wish party. I was hoping the Wish party was in there, because that's the party I want to go to.
Well, that's the priority party.
That's the only party I want to go to in Chicago. Is wherever Wish goes, because we get competitive. And we play bar games, and everyone's excited, and we talk about whether Titanic is a romantic comedy or an action movie.
Oh, you know what? I just realized. When I met Wish, that's what you guys were talking about.
Yes, we were sitting at the Pittsburgh bar, and he was lamenting to me how it's an action movie, because Billy Zane is like the main antagonist, and he was, and it was an action movie because of all the action he created. And then you slam your hand thing, your clutch purse down, and I'm just like, who the fuck is ruining my debate with Wish about whether it's a romantic movie or an action movie?
I didn't slam it down.
You slammed it down like that, and I'm like, ha!
I sort of slapped it, but not slammed. There's a difference.
Mm.
No, anyway.
A slap is like...
Because...
A slam is like...
Yeah, because I... You were like, who the hell?
Oh, it's you.
Yeah.
It's you.
And Wish was very confused. And then...
Well, he was drunk, too. We were both drunk.
You explained, and then he immediately asked me. He's like, it's great to meet you. And then it was immediately, so do you think Titanic is...
Yeah, and we get into the Titanic debate. That's why I love these things. Like,
yeah.
Because it's like, we talk about hockey enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's off season now. This is here.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing?
You know, I look forward to hanging out with you guys for the sheer thing that I know that none of you are going to be like, so, where do you find all your information?
Oh, to you?
Yeah.
I know where you find it. That's the problem. It's like no great feat.
No.
It's just the tools of the librarian.
Yeah. But yeah, people just walk up to me, like, even in Winnipeg, people are like, hi, so how do you find this? And I'm like, the same place you find any other information?
Yeah, but people don't use newspaper databases.
That's true.
To their defense.
Yeah. Well, I read a lot of books, too.
You do read too many books. Way too many books.
So many books.
Two shelves are just... Our shelf and a half is hockey, and then I have my other hockey
two and a half. It's going to be three shelves soon.
I see one. Oh, that's... I forgot the top shelf. Jesus. Well, there's wrestling books there, so if you put that with that, it's two shelves worth.
Okay, it'll be two and a half soon, then.
And I have my books over here.
Yes.
Mostly picture books. A lot of cartoons.
Little words.
One-syllable words. Big pictures. Still want to know who the fork ran away with. Anyway. All right, where can people find you?
NHL History Girl.
There you go. You can find me at Scotty Waz on Twitter or the brand new ScottyWaz.com. Catch the fever. I figured, you know what? I'm tired of blogging like every other place.
Yeah.
Let's just all centralize my garbage in a one big Maryland-looking flag. Have you seen the site yet?
I have not.
Oh, thanks.
Because you just told me about it.
I just told you about it. I was asking you, hey, should I buy this domain name?
No, you didn't.
I did. I was sitting on the couch Thursday night.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to have a fight. Gonna have a fight, and then we're gonna talk about why Chris Osgood should be in the Hall of Fame. And you're like, no,
and then we'll go out for ice cream.
I'm not going out for ice cream. It's too late. I gotta work in the morning. Some of us don't have Memorial Day off. I'm working right now. As you hear this, sitting in doing hospital things because I'm a sturgeon. You're laughing too hard at that?
Yes.
All right, so that means cut your mic off, and then I say, thanks for joining us on the Soderstrom Bubble. For Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. It's been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Faisal Hockey Show Media Faction. I hate all of you. Kidding, I just hate Jen right now. Jerk, don't laugh at me in my profession. This is my life's work. This is my life's work. Listen. Uh-huh.
Being a fish?
I said surgeon, not sturgeon, you idiot.
You said sturgeon.
I'll play the tape back. Just see how you don't listen.
It's okay. I never listen.
Bye, everybody.